morning, everybody. I'm joined today by our CFO, Eamon O'Kennedy, and Declan Murray, who heads up our investor relations. The presentation has been emailed to those participants who we had email addresses for, but it's also available on our website at cairnhomes.com. Today, we are pleased to be reporting on our first full year in operation. When I think back 12 months ago to the objectives we set, including our investment in land, assembling a talented team of people, and scaling our home building operations, I'm pleased to report today that all of these objectives have been met. Starting with financials, the highlights are as follows. Total revenues of 40.9 million, up from 3.7 million in 2015, including 105 completed sales. Gross profit of 7.1 million and a gross profit margin of 17.3%. Operating profit of 3.6 million before exceptional items. I'm also pleased to announce today that the company intends to seek a primary listing on the Irish Stock Exchange during the current year. On the operating side, we are currently active on 7 development sites, which are listed, and construction is due to commence in Naas in Q2 2017. As of today, we have forward sales of 320 units with a gross sales value of 121 million. The majority of these forward sales are expected to complete this year. We've had a very strong customer response across all of our selling sites and an increase in our weekly sales run rate up to 19.7 per week from 10 per week in Q4 last year and 3.5 per week in Q3. In response, the company has doubled its build rate to over 250 and 200 units per annum in our Parkside and Ashburn developments, respectively. Total acquisition spend of 265 million in 2016 followed from a spend of 489 million in 2015. Our average core site cost is 53,000 and 96% of Cairn's land bank of 12,100 units is residentially zoned or has a live planning consent. Post-year end, we recently announced a successful conclusion of our first joint venture with NAMA on a site adjoining our Parkside development. The company is today supporting over 1,000 new construction jobs across our active sites. On slide 6, we give a picture of our active sites in green and our future sites in red, predominantly in Dublin, in locations with excellent potential. We do intend to build in Cork, Galway and Kilkenny in future years, but we are currently focused on scaling our Dublin operations. Our current active sites will deliver over 2,800 units. On slide 7, we provide some analysis of the makeup of our land bank, including mix, buyer profile and planning. Our total land bank has been acquired at an average cost of 53,000 per unit, which represents 19% of net development value. And that projected net development value, excluding house price inflation, 3.4 billion. On this slide also, at the top right, we have mapped out our path to delivering over the next 3 years on our targets. And we have increased our 2018 guidance to 850 units. On slide 8, we've given a picture and illustrated how we've scaled our business during the first full year of operations. These highlights show that we have been very busy with plenty of progress made, particularly on site commencements and increasing our output in the latter half of the year. On slide 9, we talk about our team and our supporting contractors. I'm going to spend a little bit of time on this. We are very proud of the team that we have assembled. They are talented and experienced. And the photograph shown is recently taken at our site in Marianella. And we continue to grow this team. I'd like to spend some time on our subcontractor model also, which supports our scaling capabilities. Today, the company is working with 285 subcontractors and suppliers across our sites. We have a sponsorship program to expand apprenticeships across the various trades, and we believe there are significant advantages that the Cairn platform offers for our very important subcontractors. The security provided by the longer duration and longer phase developments, our average site is over 400 units, and it allows these subcontractors to scale their business. Efficient sequencing of these trades by Cairn's experienced site management also helps our subcontractors. Regular and prompt payments, visible growth prospects on foot of our long-term land bank, and the bulk purchasing of our materials off fixed supplier pricing agreed directly between Cairn and our suppliers. On slide 10, we talk about our construction costs. The prudent management of our construction costs is primarily enabled by our economies of scale, our approach in dealing with subcontractors, and the duration of our contracts. Today, 75% of our total construction costs across four of our active sites, Parkside, Ashburn and Marinella, are contractually fixed. Labour accounts for about 50% of our build cost, but we also believe that our material procurement strategy mitigates some of the risk on labour inflation. And I would also like to stress that broader wage inflation in the Irish economy is a positive because it certainly helps affordability for home buyers. On slide 11, we outline our sales performance, and the trajectory of the cumulative sales growth tells its own story. 223 unit sales in the full year 2016 has been followed by 177 unit sales in the year to date. I'm not going to dwell too much on slide 12, but I would encourage you to consider carefully when you're reviewing this presentation. To build a home, a Cairn home, a three or four bed semi-detached standard home, it takes between 17 and 19 weeks. This allows us to respond quickly to market demand. Brand. Our ambition is to be recognised as a home builder, building quality homes for generations to come, because we are a business that has been established for the long term, and therefore the brand is at the heart of everything we do. I'd like to spend a little bit of time bringing you to some of our active sites. The first one is Marinella, where we are building 234 apartments and houses. We have already sold 70 of the apartments and some of the houses off plans, and I think that's a testament to the good location and quality of the product at Marinella. Hanover Quay, where we are building 122 apartments, is in what we like to call the Canary Dwarf area of Dublin, surrounded by the Dublin's tech community, and should be very well received when it's launched next year. We also include updated imagery of Parkside, our 500-unit scheme, and Churchfield in Ashburn, which is a 350-unit scheme. We have started construction on Glen Heron in Greystones, which is a beautiful site close to Greystones Village and very well connected to Dublin with a rail connection. And similarly, we have started building on a very large development in Shackleton Park in Adamstown. We've illustrated some of our upcoming sites, including Nace Town Centre, which we will go on shortly. Our site in Maynooth, close to the village and adjacent to the Maynooth University campus. And also some of our larger future sites like Cherrywood and Clonburris in Dublin. I will hand you over to our CFO, who will bring you through our financials. Thank you, Eamon.
Thank you, Michael, and good morning, everybody. I'll just quickly walk you through our financials for the year ended 31 December 2016. As you can see, our total revenues for the year were 4.9 million. That's up from 3.7 million in 2016. This revenue number comprises 31 million from the sale of the 105 completed units that Michael referred to earlier. In addition to that, we have a further 8.7 million of revenue earned from the sale of various sites and completed units that were acquired through the Project Clear loan portfolio acquisition. Through those revenues, we generated a gross operating profit of 7.1 million and an operating margin of 17.3%. Importantly, with this gross margin progressing from 16.5% in H1 to 17.7% in H2. Our central overheads for the year at 7.8 million. That's a step up from the level of cost seen in H1. And that's obviously due to our continued investment in headcount and other costs with our increased revenues as we scale the business. We had other income of $4.4 million. That related to both income and gains on some of the loans we sold in the course of the year, in addition to a once-off benefit that related to some costs we had foreseen in Project Clear that didn't materialise and which had been released in the income statement. And we had a finance charge of $5.2 million relating to the interest on our drawn senior debt facilities. And the income tax credit relates to deferred tax asset booked on the net position of the income statement. Moving on to the balance sheet, the key line item here obviously is our inventory line, which now stands at a total investment of $727 million, of which $37 million of this is WIP, or semi-completed or completed units, and $130 million of land which remains in the foreclosure process, of which just over $40 million converted to direct ownership post-year-end. We do have one remaining loan asset on the balance sheet, $16 million, which we expect to realise during H1. And the other receivable number is principally comprised of VAT recoverable. A lot of those relate to Project Clear assets moving over to our ownership, which we'll be recouping over the next number of months. And the deferred tax liability relates to the acquisition of the Parkside and the Argentan businesses and sites. Trade and other payables is comprised principally of various Project Clear related accruals and our standard trade payables. And importantly, our cash balance at the end of December stands at $72 million, just over $72 million, $27 million of which is restricted under our banking facilities. And importantly, we have $50 million of an undrawn revolving credit facility at the end of the year. On the cash flow, the key item here is our spend on inventory in the year of $151.1 million, which mainly relates to the various sites we acquired in the course of the year, in addition to our continued investment in work in progress, less the release from units sold in 2016. We realised proceeds from the loan assets I mentioned earlier of $26.8 million. Yeah, the Argentum acquisition accounted for an outflow of $86.1 million. And then on the financing side, the net proceeds from the April equity issue that you'll be aware of was $167.7 million. And we had net drawdowns in our bank facilities of just $85 million. And that brings us to a net increase in cash for the year of $39.1 million. So I'll hand you back over to Michael again now.
Thank you, Ed. Cairn gives investors a clear exposure to the residential sector of the Irish economy, so I want to take a few minutes now to look at the broader economy and home ownership in general. So bringing you to slide 24, the government supply side measures delivering mortgage-backed first-time buyers have certainly had an impact and a very positive impact, as can be seen from Cairn's scaling and increased output. The cost or the amount of deposit needed to be saved by a first-time house buyer has reduced dramatically, and the first graph shows that. The new homes completions number, however, still, I think, disappoints. If we look at Dublin, where most of our land bank is, the official numbers are 4,200 for last year. However, newly constructed homes from multi-unit developments in 2016 is estimated at below 2,500. That's as per the property price registrations. So much to do to continue to meet the demand that exists in Dublin and in Ireland more broadly. On slide 25, we talk about home ownership versus renting. I'm not aware of any other city in the world where renting is so much more expensive than owning. And I think the undersupply of housing and apartments has led to an exceptionally expensive rental market, as can be illustrated by the numbers we've shown here. On slide 26, we have a snapshot of the key determinants of affordability in the Irish market, including upward trends, earning growth, the upward trend in earnings growth, over 200,000 more people in employment in the last 5 years in Ireland, the upward trend, and certainly the mortgage market strengthening, both in terms of the value of loans and drawdowns. And I think most importantly for our home buyers and our customers, a reduction in the cost of mortgages, which I think is extremely important. In terms of outlook, we have 7 points here, which encapsulate what we've talked about this morning. We are very pleased with progress achieved since we floated, and we are looking forward to another year of future growth as we continue to scale our business in 2017 and beyond. Thank you very much, and we'll open up now shortly to questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. Our first question comes from the line of Patrick Halpin. Please ask your question. Patrick, your line is now open. Our next question comes from the line of Colin Sheridan. Please ask your question.
All right, good morning, guys.
Good morning, Colin.
Just a couple for me, if I can. I guess just on your 1,200 volume target in 2019, which you've reiterated this morning, with the accelerated build profile that you're going for in Parkside and Ashburn, I mean, we were thinking about that, I guess, in terms of 12 sites building at a rate of 100. So, I mean, when I think about the 1,200 unit target now, should we be thinking about a lower number of sites building higher, or is there upside on the volume number there? Maybe just quickly on the Lighthouse, which you you referenced in the report, maybe give us a little bit more detail on what sites you think in your own land bank are most likely to receive some support there and what form it might take.
Thank you, Colin. Yes, Colin, I suppose we are going to be, we believe, a better and more efficient business if we are producing higher volumes from a smaller number of sites. I think that's true to say. However, we'd like to hold that volume target for 2019. We've certainly had a strong number of months, and indeed most of last year was strong from a sales perspective. And we've seen some early impact from some of the measures, both on CBI and Central Bank. We have increased our target for next year, but at this point we'd like to hold our 2019 target. On Lighthouse, Colin, the government, I think sensibly, is targeting the infrastructure fund towards what they term to be large pathfinder sites. And I think sensibly they're looking at sites that can make a real difference to the extreme shortage we have in new homes. They've identified, as we understand it, about 23 pathfinder sites. These would all be sites that are probably delivering in excess of 500 units. And we believe 5 to 6 of our sites fall into that category and are classified as pathfinder sites, and therefore have a very good chance, or a reasonably good chance, of receiving some support on funding from LIHAF for key infrastructure.
Okay, great, thanks, guys.
Our next question comes from the line of Harvey Robinson. Please ask your question.
Morning, guys. I just want to get a feel for the dynamics within the gross margin. You clearly obviously fixed your land cost, and you've given some helpful colour on construction costs. We've obviously got the following wind of the house prices from last year. Looking forward to your sort of medium-term guidance, you know, 20% operating margins, I'm just trying to work out what reduces the impact of the house price inflation on the gross margin, as it were, i.e. what percentage of that any future house price inflation might be absorbed by costs. You mean,
What we like to do is look forward on a no house, a no HPI basis.
Yeah.
Similarly, we don't factor in build cost inflation, and obviously the house price inflation is driving on the gross sales number. So,
yeah.
You know, we would like to think that may have a positive impact on our margin. In terms of our our sort of current year. As we start sites, we do take on some significant infrastructure. That's the way we approach our business, because we're building large sites and we want them to appeal not only just for the housing product, but for the landscaped areas and the other facilities we bring. So in the early parts of any development, the margin is likely to be slightly lower.
Yeah.
First buyers don't, you know, also will maybe get the advantage of launch pricing, albeit our pricing, I think, has been competitive across all our schemes over the last 12 months, and we're certainly volume focused at the moment. So we don't really factor in that macro tailwind, but on costs, and I think I pointed out during the slide presentation, we are seeing some wage inflation. We are on budget on our build cost across our portfolio at the moment. We're seeing some build cost inflation in Ireland, particularly with large contractors, because we have so much office development going on, particularly in Dublin. Unfortunately, not enough of apartments to balance that office development. We have 400,000 square metres of offices being built in Dublin today, which is enough for about 40,000 people, and I think we're building 800 apartments, which is, you know, enough for about 1,600 people. So we have an extreme imbalance, particularly in Dublin. But we certainly would like to sort of remain reasonably cautious on our EBIT margin target, and we think 20 is a good number to go and look at going forward.
Quick follow-up, that the material side of the cost was more controlled?
It is controlled. I mean, Ireland has always been a great country for building materials. A very, very high percentage of what we put into our homes is locally produced. We have great, fantastic building providers companies, some of them international companies like Kingspan and Grafton Group and CRH, who are Irish companies, so and our suppliers to Cairn. Our economies of scale help us there. So as we design our homes, we are repeating in a lot of cases many of the materials are let's say across our developments. So the homes we are building today in Parkside are very similar in design to Ashburn, Adamstown, Naas, a Cairn standard, high, albeit a very high specification 3 and 4 bed home. Has a lot of similar materials. Those economies give us a bit of a natural hedge against some of that wage inflation. And I think as we grow as a business and scale, that will continue to help us on the material side.
Okay, thanks very much. Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Ronan Dunphy. Please ask your question.
Hi, folks. Ronan Dunphy from Investec here.
Hi, Ronan. Hi. How are you?
Very good. I'm just wondering if you could provide any details on the JV with NAMA and how these units compare with your directly built units from a profitability or margin perspective, and also then the potential to sort of roll out this model further to other sites.
I think the JV is a good structure for both NAMA and Cairn. I believe it's a new platform and a new way of doing business, certainly for us and possibly for NAMA also. NAMA still controls a very large land bank in Ireland. We'd be hopeful of future opportunities. The reason that this is a profitable structure for Cairn is we're leveraging off our existing site infrastructure, team, prelims, and effectively it's an extension of our existing development. Even our show homes and marketing costs help us here, because we're effectively marketing as Parkside. So where there are adjoining land opportunities and we can use our existing efficient team and structure to expand our operations, particularly where we've got very high demand, and Parkside has certainly been in demand. It's performing well, very well on the sales side. It's a great structure for us going forward.
Okay,
our next question comes from the line of Andy Murphy. Please ask your question.
Morning, guys.
Morning, Andy.
I've got three questions. They're all pretty straightforward, I think. First of all, you've talked about 3 of the 10 sites that that you're not building on at the moment. Can you just let us know where you're at with planning on those? Do you have a full implementable planning permission on the three that you're not active on? Secondly, looking at house price inflation as opposed to mix, can you give us a flavour of what you think was in the figures just reported? And it's been quite difficult given the volumes, but just a flavour, and how you think this year will plan out in terms of just house price inflation across the Dublin area. And thirdly, just a sort of a clarification question, because it's something I get asked quite a bit. It's more of a long-term strategic question about where Cairn goes in the very long term. And the question is once the company's burned through its land bank, is it likely to look to return the generated cash to shareholders, or basically continue to operate like a normal house builder? In other words, to be back in the land market in the longer term, replacing your land and developing Cairn into a house builder with longevity.
Thanks, Andy. I'll go in reverse, Andy. I suppose on the land bank point, I think we've tried to be pretty clear on this. We absolutely believe today is the time to own and to invest it in a large land bank. At 12,100 units, it is a large land bank, but we absolutely believe in that strategy. As we work through the next 3 or 4 years, we will not continue to acquire land, Andy, unless it's going to meet these type of returns, and the returns we've always talked about to our shareholders. A more natural run rate might be, in the longer term, might be 5,000-6,000 units, but we'll assess that at the time. But I would say there's a very reasonable chance, Andy, we won't be replacing a large portion of the land we've acquired, depending on where we see things at the time and where we are in that cycle.
Okay.
In relation to planning, I'm going to pass over to my colleague Declan, who's much better on stats than I am on house price inflation. But on planning and on development sites, I suppose we're fortunate, Andy. You would cover a lot of companies in our sector in the UK, and a lot of those companies have strategic elements to the land bank where they buy land which they hope to get future planning on or rezoning. We effectively acquired the land owned by some of the largest house builders in Ireland, which already had mature planning. Some of that planning we look to enhance, we may look to improve it, and we may look to make it more suitable for today's market. But in terms of the sites we haven't moved on to, we have actually quite a number, much more than three, that have a mature planning. For example, if I take Nace, our next site, Nace has planning permission in place for circa 400 units. We are actually going to commence building the first 120 off that existing permission, but we are actually applying for a revision on the remainder of the site. And that's kind of what we do on an ongoing basis. In some cases, we build on the existing consent, but in most, in almost every situation, we adapt and we change planning. And because each site is residentially zoned or has an extant permission already, there is no risk there. So we effectively, I think we're very unlike our peers in the UK, where we don't really carry planning risk in our land portfolio. I'll just pass you quickly over to Declan on house price inflation and stats there.
Yeah, sure. Wayne, Andy. So, I mean, HPI last year nationally was just over 8%, just under 6% in Dublin. But there are pockets also within Dublin where there are some variations. So South Dublin, where we have a number of our core sites, there was HPI of just over 9.7%. So it's certainly in the market, consensus numbers are that it'll be in or around 8% this year, probably falling back to 6% and a bit of a more normalised level through 2018.
Yeah, I'd add to that, Andy, that as a business, we're in this for the long term, and building excellent homes and bringing them to the market at competitive pricing is what we're about as a business. And I certainly feel the industry at large is really volume focused at the moment, particularly in the new home sector. Many of them are trying to redraw their balance sheets and increase their equity so that they can continue to buy land. So it's difficult, Andy, to talk about house price inflation levels, and that's why we prefer to think about our business on a go-forward basis on what we're selling at today.
Thanks for that. Could I just go back to the very first point you made? You mentioned 5,000 to 6,000 units. Is that kind of a long-term target of production? I guess it must be.
No, I think that what we're really saying there, Andy, is that you know, in 4 or 5 years' time, depending on where we are, we may not be holding a 12,000 unit land bank. And therefore, what I'm saying is that we may be and would be more likely returning capital to our shareholders rather than reinvesting the proceeds from 5,000 or 6,000 of our current 12,000 unit land bank.
Right,
that's kind of what I meant by that.
Yeah, got it. Thanks very much.
Our next question comes from the line of Colin Lauder. Please ask your question.
Gents, good morning. Colin Lauder here in Cumbetty Stockbrokers in Dublin. Thanks for the results and the run through. It's good to see the progress in terms of the scaling up of the construction side. I had a question relating to evolving trends, I suppose, with the purchaser profile, and particularly sort of digging into that 301 number you have for forward sales. And I suppose when we focus on things like Marianella, Hanover Quay, have you seen any trends evolving or changes in terms of the purchaser breakdown, be it from origin? I know you had mentioned before in previous presentations the number of purchasers coming from the UK market. Has there been any focus around that post-Brexit? Obviously, you have a piece in your statement how Cairn is well positioned to benefit from increased demand from a Brexit relocation basis. And also, moving on from sort of the origin of purchasers and looking at the cash versus mortgage breakdown, particularly around the Marianella scheme, is it still a cash buyer-dominated purchaser market? And has there been any change as well in terms of the sort of the buy-to-let intent of investors as they, particularly following the sort of the rent control issue we had in Ireland in December?
Yeah, thanks, Colin. Trends on the buying side, I suppose, have been interesting, Colin. We saw demand right the way through last year, particularly and ironically in Parkside and Ashburn for our larger homes, and pre-government intervention our larger four-bed homes were in demand, maybe pointing to the fact that those that could get mortgages were maybe slightly older, maybe slightly better off. That switched now, and we're seeing real demand on the first-time house buyer side, which I think is a big positive. You need to have health across the property ladder, and more first-time buyers coming into the market is certainly a positive. I think of our forward number of 300 sales, we track first-time buyers. It sits at about 98, 99 column, I think. And that's a big increase, and much more demand in the latter half of last year and early this year for three-bed homes. You know, talking about that profile, I think Marianella, it would be fair to say I'd categorise the majority of the early buyers as trading down. And I think a product like Marianella being offered, you know, probably for the first time in 10 years and giving, you know, some people in that area the option maybe to release some equity, hopefully help their kids to buy homes and move to smaller apartments is a positive. So, you know, our land bank, and we showed that analysis earlier, is a pretty broad profile of buyers, and it's great to see a broader health. I think that for me, outside of the mortgage changes column, I think confidence is important, and I think we certainly are seeing more confidence coming back into the market. And for me, that's probably the most important thing to see. And I think very important for our business. The profile of Parkside and Marianella is almost 100% mortgage-backed owner-occupiers, which again is very positive. We have had some investor interest in Marianella and some early interest and strong interest in Hanover Quay, but we are not doing pre-sales in Hanover Quay at this stage. And we are... we have about 70 units pre-sold off plan in Marianella. We will release from a show complex. Our first block will be almost complete by May of this year, and we'll do a full launch of Marianella, a public launch of Marianella in May. Colin.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Michael.
No further questions at this time. Again, if you wish to ask a question, please press *1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Our next question comes from the line of Andy Murphy. Please ask your question.
Hi, just a bit of clarity, really. In the statement, you mentioned that in 2016 in Dublin there was something like 4,234 completions. But I didn't really understand the next line where you said there was 2,234 multi-unit development.
Yeah, I don't really want to get too deep into it, Andy. But we've had a lot of, you know, I suppose a lot of noise in Ireland over the last number of months about how we actually track. And how we report on new homes. We use utility connections, and many believe, and there's been a lot of recent press articles sort of questioning the numbers. Certainly there's still a high level of one-off homes. I think what's important to track, Andy, for us and to understand is, you know, how many house builders are building homes in multi-unit schemes, new developments, new product coming to the market. And the numbers would suggest that that's a lot lower than it needs to be, and closer to 2,500, which is probably, you know, a quarter of what's required. Because I think when people talk about needing 10 to 12,000 new homes in Dublin, they mean new homes, newly built, newly commenced from housing developments.
Right. Okay. Thanks very much.
Okay.
No further questions at this time. Please continue.
Okay, if there's no further questions, we'll wrap up.